to speak to you about one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. It is a great verse for hope and to challenge us and to move us to serve the Lord with everything we've got. If you look at the verse, it says, therefore, we're in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, it's very interesting. If you were to look at all these words and all these terms and how beautiful this verse is, and I were to ask you what is the most important word in this verse, what is the most important word in this verse, I think the majority of us wouldn't necessarily guess the most important word in this verse, because it's not really, it doesn't really stick out. But I believe that the first word in this verse is the most important word in this verse. If you can read it with me, what does it say? What's the first word? What is it?
Therefore.
Therefore. Therefore. That means in conclusion, finishing up, wrapping everything up, therefore, let's do the following things. Therefore, let's do the following things. And what Paul is trying to say is that because Jesus is alive, let's do the following thing. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most important things that you have to believe in. You have to believe in it if you're truly a Christian. You have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead if you want to be a true believer. Amen? And it's not just believe that he rose from the dead, but he rose from the dead on the third day in a physical body. Amen? He rose from the dead in a physical, glorified body, and that he is at the right hand of the Father today interceding for us. Amen? That's what we must believe. The Bible teaches us that he rose from the dead. There are a lot of people that will tell you that he rose from the dead. Well, it was a spiritual thing, that people saw his spirit. Man, he ate with people. Spirits don't eat, all right? He ate with people. He was touched by people. He was seen by people, and he spent time with them for 40 days. He was here on earth. It has been seen among many people. He is alive. Jesus is alive. Amen? We should be a little bit more excited about that. Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. He is alive today. He doesn't just live in my heart. He lives in a physical body. Jesus is alive. Amen? And if you don't believe that, then that is a hopeless state. Now, let me tell you this. If we believe that and it's a lie, that is about the worst thing we can believe in this world. If you'll go with me, look at verse 12. Jump back a little bit in verse 12. Paul says this, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So if Jesus rose from the dead, why do you guys say that people aren't going to rise from the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If we're not going to rise from the dead physically one day in a glorified body, then that means that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. It's a great way to start a Wednesday night service. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching, can you read that word with me? Then is our preaching what?
Vain.
Then our preaching is vain, empty, useless. If Jesus isn't alive, we are wasting our time.
Right.
We should go outside this evening and enjoy the weather. All right? Actually, we're not going to enjoy the weather. But if Jesus isn't alive, then we're wasting our time here. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also, what does it say? Your faith is also
vain,
empty, useless, waste of time. So me standing up here this evening is a waste of time. If Jesus isn't alive, me standing up here is a waste of time. And you sitting down and hearing and believing what I'm preaching is also a waste of time. If Jesus isn't, I'm just trying to repeat the verse in my own words. If Jesus isn't alive, then my preaching is empty and useless, and your faith is empty and useless. That's what the Bible says. Now look at the next verse. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. And so not only is what I'm doing a waste of time, but I am known as a liar because I say that I'm speaking on God's behalf when what I'm saying isn't really true. I'm putting words in God's mouth. If Jesus isn't alive, then not only am I wasting my time, but I'm lying to you. And everything that we believe is built around a lie. He says, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, what does it say again? It repeats it. Your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You know what? If Jesus is alive, there's no hope for the sinner. If Jesus is alive, If Jesus isn't alive, there is no hope for the sinner. There's no hope in this life because you are yet in your sins. The book of Romans chapter 6 says that you are a servant of sin. You are a slave to sin. You are a prisoner to sin. And if Jesus isn't alive, then there's no hope for the prostitute. There's no hope for the drug addict. There's no hope for the wife beater. There's no hope for the angry man. There's no hope for the thief. There's no hope for any of these people. There's no hope for any of the sinners because Jesus isn't truly alive. So there's no hope in this life. Let's read the next verse. It says, you're still in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep, really nice way to say people are dead, in Christ are what? Perished. Oh, man. People died believing a lie, and they're perished. Basically, there's no hope in this life, and there's no hope in the next life. There's no hope. If Jesus isn't alive, there's no hope. I'm here to cheer you up this evening. Because verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, you see memes, you see pictures being shared sometimes that speak about the atheist and the Christian, and that if you ask the atheist, what if when you die, everything that you believed was a lie, you will wake up in hell, and if I die and everything that I believed was a lie, well, at least I lived a good life and enjoyed it. That's not what this verse says. This verse says completely the opposite. This verse says if you live your entire life living and believing a lie, then you're the most miserable person around. But verse 20 is awesome. Amen. Verse 20 is awesome. Look what verse 20 says. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. Now is Christ risen, but he is alive. Hey, we can be happy. He's alive. Amen? He is alive. We can forget all those past verses we just read. We can forget all that stuff because it's not a lie. It's not in vain. It is all true. Jesus is alive. He was seen by so many witnesses. He was seen for 40 days. He is at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us. Jesus is alive, and he's become the first fruits of the dead. He's the first fruits. He's not the only fruits. He's the first fruits of the dead, meaning that because Jesus is alive, we're going to be alive with him one day as well. Amen? Amen? Jesus is alive. Amen? Are you excited about that? All right, tell your face. Are we excited about that? Amen? We are excited that Jesus is alive. And so verse 58, therefore, because Jesus is alive, therefore, my beloved brother. Man, Jesus is alive, and thanks to that, I'm alive with him. I was buried with him in baptism, and I was raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Man, thanks to Jesus being alive, my life's been changed, and other people's lives have been changed. Your life's been changed. Man, because Jesus is alive, we can have victory over death. Because Jesus is alive, we can have victory over sin. Because Jesus is alive, we can have eternal life. Because Jesus is alive, everything changes. Right. You know, the message that I preach when I go to Peru is Jesus is alive and you can live with him. Everything changes because Jesus is alive. There is power in the life of the believer. There is power in our life. He has sent us another comforter. He has given us the Holy Spirit. We can serve him. We can obey him. Because Jesus is alive, there is power in the resurrection. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Pastor said I only had until 9:15, so I need to hurry. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Jesus is alive, everything changes. But because Jesus is alive, we can be challenged. We can be challenged. Look at the next part of the verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, what does it say? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. We're back in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Hey, if Jesus is alive, then we need to focus. If Jesus is alive, then we need to be steadfast. We need to stand at attention. We need to be unmovable. You know, there's so many people that get distracted. I know that you're the Wednesday night crowd. All of you love Jesus, and you never do anything wrong. I'm preaching about the people that are coming Sunday morning, right? But it says be steadfast, unmovable, meaning that there are people that get distracted from what really matters in life. Steadfast, unmovable, it's kind of a military term. It means that you need to be rooted. You need to stand at attention and nothing's gonna push you out of the way. We had a Bible college student at the Bible college in Peru. He was from Bolivia, and in Bolivia it's mandatory military service. And he says that they would stand in a circle at attention and they would throw a tear gas grenade in the middle of them and they would say, you cannot move. And so he said we would all see, you know, because of our trainers, we'd have to stand there and see who would last the longest. And everybody's just standing there. They're holding their breath, closing their eyes, there's snot going everywhere, and they're choking on their own breath. And he said, and we just stand there and everybody would start running. But we had to stand there as long as we could. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. You realize that there's something way bigger than this life, that there's eternity to live for? Let's be honest. When we're in church, we get offended a lot of times. We get offended because, well, pastor didn't recognize me. He didn't say anything about me from the pulpit. Well, I didn't get a diploma. Well, I saw what so-and-so put on her Facebook, and I know she was talking about me. Do you really think any of that's going to matter when we get to heaven? Is any of that stuff really going to matter when we get to heaven? It says, because Jesus, let's just go back to that word, therefore, because Jesus is alive, be steadfast, be unmovable, because we're living for eternity here, and we can't let petty things distract us. Well, brother, my kids really want to focus on sports, and we're not going to be able to come to church for the next 6 months because my kids are really going to be focused on that. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Well, I got offended because so-and-so said this to me and I don't appreciate it. Do you really think Jesus is going to care when we get to heaven? Do you really think he's going to be offended by that thing they shared? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Like a soldier. It is so interesting to me when you see the stories about a soldier that stands his guard, a soldier that stays in the battle, that stays in the fight, says, be steadfast, unmovable. Young person, be steadfast, unmovable. Continue serving the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is alive, and that changed the rest of eternity for me. I don't have time to be distracted by childish things. I don't have time to be distracted by things that don't matter in this world. I've got a priority. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to live with him for eternity. And so the things of this world don't really matter. They don't matter. And I might get offended, but I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. And I might be tempted to be distracted by other things, but I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. Not because I have something to prove, but because Jesus has already proved everything. Because he has died and rose again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Look at the next thing. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Three things right here. One, always, always. There's never a time to take a break. There's never a time to take a break. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. But David, you don't understand. I've been at this church ever since. I'm the oldest person here. Everybody's already died and gone. I'm the oldest person here. I've done everything. I've taken care of the nursery. I've cleaned the restrooms. I've cleaned the church. I've taught Sunday school. I've done everything. I'm tired. I need a break. Man, you got all of eternity. All right, let's take a break then. Always abounding, growing. Things might change in our life. We might shift a little bit, but always abounding, always growing in the work of the Lord. The thing is that today I might be doing something, but we always need to be doing more. Our job might shift a little bit. It might change a little bit. We might have a different way of serving the Lord, but we are always growing in the work of the Lord. And that's the last thing is that part. It says abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, when he speaks of the work of the Lord, it's not just speaking of good works, like, well, you know, get over, don't drive in the left lane, and let people pass in front of you, and be kind to other people, and you know, be kind to your neighbor. No, he's talking about not just good works, he's talking about the work of the Lord. He's talking about ministry work. Everybody's got a place to work. Everybody's got something to do. Everybody's got a chance to win a soul. Everybody's got a chance to share the gospel. Everybody's got a chance to disciple. Everybody's got a chance to be a part of what God's doing in your local church. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, growing in the work of the Lord. Because Jesus is alive, what I do now will be an investment in eternity. You know, because Jesus is alive, I can do things for God. I don't know if we get that concept, but because Jesus is alive, we can serve him. We can serve him. Because Jesus is alive, we can serve God with our life. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the last part says, for as much as ye, read that with me, for as much as you what? For as much as you what?
Know.
You can know that you know that you know that you know that it's always worth it to serve Jesus. It is always. Let me repeat that. Always worth it to serve Jesus. No, you don't understand. Somebody stabbed me in the back. I invested so much time in this person's life and they just turned around and left. I just did all this. I gave to such and such ministry and I don't know what's going on there. I just did this. I just did that. I don't know. I don't know if what I did was worth it. No. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain.
Amen.
What's that word? Is not in what? Wait a minute, it's not in vain. What did it say in the verses before that? If Jesus isn't alive, my preaching is, and your faith is, and your faith is vain and vain and vain. But in this verse it says, therefore, because Jesus is alive, nothing you do for him is ever a waste. Nothing you do for him is ever empty. Nothing you do for him. I know that you give to missions. I know that you give to ministries all over the world. I know that you're giving to even build your own church property. I know that you serve. I am amazed to see how many people are here on a Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. It's always worth it.
Amen.
It's always worth it. You know, there's a young man that his name's Lucio. Lucio is a friend of mine, and he was working in a rock quarry in Arequipa, and he was working in a rock quarry, and he met a man named Emilio, and Emilio was a Christian man. He's a member of our church at Omega, and Emilio started sharing the gospel with him. He started sharing the gospel with him over and over and over again. Lucio ended up getting saved, and Emilio said, well, now that you're saved, you need to be part of a local church. And so Emilio drug him to Omega Baptist Church, took him to Omega Baptist Church, and he said, this is your church from now on. And when he walked into the door, he met another young man named Ephraim. Ephraim is now a pastor that started a church about 5 years ago. And when he met Ephraim, they were from the same part of town. And Ephraim started discipling Lucio. And Ephraim started helping him grow. Lucio started getting involved in ministry. And Lucio said, man, this is so beautiful. I want to start a church around my hometown. I want to start a church around where I live right now, which is about 45 minutes from where Omega was. And so he took Ephraim and another missionary, and they went and they started a church there, and people got saved, and God used him. And all of a sudden, Lucio had to go work. He was working in construction, driving caterpillars and big, you know, equipment. And when he was working, he was the only Christian at this place. And so his boss said, you're going to give us a devotional every morning. And so he'd get up and he'd preach to everybody every morning. He wasn't a preacher or anything, but he was getting up and preaching to everybody. And man, God used him everywhere he went. He was driving home one day. He was on his motorcycle with his friend on the back, and a dog ran across, and Lucio made a mistake. He hit the brakes, he hit the front brakes, and he went flying over the handlebars. He didn't have his helmet buckled. His helmet flew off, and he hit the pavement on his head. He got up. He went over to the shoulder of the road, moaning and crying, fell asleep, and never woke up again. And he died. But your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lucio's in heaven. Lucio is in heaven today. He's still my friend on Facebook. I don't know how that works, but he's in heaven. Do you think it was worth it? Let me ask you, was it worth it? Was it worth it that Emilio shared the gospel with Lucio and took time out of his day to share the gospel? It's not in vain. Was it worth it that Emilio went to his house and picked him up and brought him to church? Was that worth it? Was it worth it for Ephraim to invest time in his life? Was it worth it? Was it worth it for people to send thousands and thousands of dollars for a missionary to go and start a church like Omega Baptist Church? Was it worth it? Was it worth it that Lucio went out and started a church in his own home? Was it worth it that other people got saved? Absolutely it was worth it, because Jesus is alive, and so anything that we do for him, it's always worth it. It is always worth it to serve Jesus with our life. There is so much more to be done. Don't buy into an idea that the world has been reached, that people don't need to go, that it'd be better just to send our money. No, there's so much to be done. There's so much to be done, and it's always worth it. There's so much to be done in Peru. Peru might be one of the most evangelized countries in South America, but I'm telling you, it ain't nothing like Virginia. It ain't nothing like good old Georgia, Bible Belt. It ain't nothing like that. And so, there's more to do. There's more people to reach. There's work of the Lord that we need to always abound in. And the motivation is always because Jesus is alive. We can serve him. Because Jesus is alive, we can do more. We can give more. We can invite more. We can share the gospel more. We can preach more. It's worth it to give your children to the mission field. I didn't get many amens on that one. I didn't think I would. It's worth it to give your children to the mission field. Young person, it's worth it to give your life to go to the mission field. It's worth it to give your resources, because you can build treasure in heaven. Isn't that what Matthew 6 says? I think it's verse 19. Don't build treasure here on earth where moth and dust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. Build treasure in heaven, where those things don't happen. That's what he's saying, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brother, Jesus is alive. We can be happy about that, and we can serve him for that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you this evening. I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to serve.